Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, can't Christians ever talk about anything other than Jesus or the Bible? Does every discussion have to lead to heaven? Do they all have to be such stuffed shirts? Do the words, "Praise the Lord," have to come out of their mouths every other word? Well, my friend, that's a fair question. Speaking for myself, I have a lot of fun with my Christian friends, and we talk about all kinds of life-related subjects, all kinds of culture, artistic-related subjects. I know all kinds of other Christians who are into the latest score at the ball game and things like that. Of course, I'm sure I don't need to say this, but I'll say it anyway. My circle of friends is certainly not limited to Christians. And naturally, I agree that Christians should never come across, as the old saying goes, of being so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. In any event, your question actually relates to today's podcast. The theme of my radio show for the last 15 years has been Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. With all the intensity in the news around us, I thought it might be good to lighten things up today. So today will be a pop culture edition. Now, these types of programs are already very familiar to those of you who have been following my San Diego broadcast show these past 15 years on KCBQ. But as we continue to welcome in my new podcast audience, I did want to mention that only one of my degrees is in Bible. Before graduating Denver Seminary, I graduated San Jose State University with a degree in theater arts. Over many years, I have written, directed, and performed in plays. I also write novels. The arts are something I take very seriously, something I am quite passionate about. Good art, particularly if we're talking about theater, television, or movies, good art not only seeks to entertain, but usually has some slice of life statement familiar to all of us, even in comedies. In fact, comedy especially can show the familiar. That's usually why we find it funny. In other words, my friends, good art also presents truth. Bad art? Not so much. Are there still good movies being made? Yes. Although most people have to watch them off Netflix these past few months, it's hard to find a theater open with the pandemic. But whether on Netflix or in a real, honest-to-goodness, old-fashioned movie palace, I will suggest that the high majority of quality films are coming from independent producers. As for Hollywood proper, oh, how the mighty have fallen. How the golden era is no longer with us. True, you will still see occasionally in a given year a handful of excellent films, even from Hollywood. But it usually depends on whether the motive is to make money or the motive is to be artistic. Of course, there's nothing wrong with both motives. There's nothing wrong with making money. We all need to make money. If a film doesn't do well at the box office, few will see it, and people will be unemployed who are trying to make films. Be that as it may, wouldn't it be nice if producers were every bit as interested in making a work of art as they were interested in box office potential? These days, the producers and publicists of Hollywood work off the basic premise that people are stupid. And if these stupid people don't know the whole story of a movie ahead of time, well, golly gee, how will they know if they want to come see the movie? For this reason, as you've probably been noticing for many, many years, previews in movie theaters show snippets of scenes in chronological order, so that in just 1 minute, 1 minute, not only is the plot given away, the character development and conclusion are also given away. Ironically, that doesn't even matter. The truth is, these movies are so predictable, we would know the ending without even seeing the previews. Basically, today, Hollywood has 4 endings for movies. That's right, 4 endings. Lots of different faces, lots of different boxes, but all the same cereal. There's the action movie ending. There's the cop or spy thriller ending. There's the disaster movie ending. And there's the romantic comedy ending. I will review each, and I promise they will sound so familiar. You will come away feeling we had a slice of life with a moment of truth right here in this movie review to cover all movie reviews brought to you courtesy of your old pal, Bob. Number one, the action movie ending. You see, the villain's cronies get picked off one at a time by the hero. But the villain himself stays alive until the very, very end. The hero shoots him. He falls over, and we think he's dead. He sure looks dead. He fell over like he's dead. He's lying still as if he's dead. But in just a few minutes, holy smoke! Jumpin' Jiminy, hold on to your seats. He wasn't really dead after all. He gets up and attacks the hero again. Wow. We never saw that one coming. Can you just feel the adrenaline rush? The big climax comes when the hero and villain fist fight from a high place. Yes, it has to be a high place. Everybody repeat after me. A high place. A cliff. Or the top of a building. Or an open elevator shaft. Something like that. Finally, the villain falls. And this time, thank heaven, he's really dead. The next of the four endings of Hollywood, the cop or spy thriller ending. The chief of police, or the head of the bureau, ends up being the bad guy. What a twist. Either him or the hero protagonist's best friend. The explanation is always the same, usually from the chief of the police. I put my life into this organization. I poured blood, sweat, and tears into this organization. I lost my family over this organization, and what do I have to show for it? Minimal retirement funds and a gold watch as a gift from my retirement party. Well, I decided to show all of them. Next, we move to the disaster movie ending. It could be any disaster. Somebody knows a ship is about to sink. Somebody knows a volcano is about to explode. Somebody knows a meteor is about to hit the earth. Somebody knows a town is about to be flooded. All that matters are two things. First, the prophet, so to speak, the one warning everybody, well, he's being ignored. A major authority figure, such as the town mayor or the head of a multi-billion dollar corporation, says there's no need to panic the people. No need to panic the people. Later on in the movie, this same person is quite penitent. He apologizes to the hero with crisp, snappy dialogue like this. You were right. I was wrong. Oh, one more thing. The hero is also thrown together in the movie, either with his ex-wife or his teenage daughter or his teenage son. If it's the child, that child complains early on. You were never there for me as a father. You never came to my basketball games because you were too busy working. If it's the wife, the poor dumb male either hears the same thing. He was too busy working, or wifey pie complains about the affair he had. You see, Hollywood only knows two reasons why a marriage would ever break up. Dad was too busy, or dad had an affair. That's it. That's all, folks. The finer, quirky, dysfunctional eccentricities of human beings, which create literally hundreds of communication barriers in relationships, are seldom, if ever, explored. In any event, since dad and his ex, or dad and his troubled teen, are now caught in a disaster together, it brings them together like nothing ever did before and heals the family to boot. Last, but certainly not least, we come to the romantic comedy ending. Now, follow this carefully. You might even want to take notes. Jeff likes to fool around, but Jeff has never had the time or vulnerability for a real relationship. This all changes when Jeff meets Stephanie. They don't get along at first, but later on they fall in love. At the end of the movie, however, Jeff just can't bring himself to tell Stephanie how he truly feels about her, so Stephanie decides to leave town. One of Jeff's friends slaps him across the face to knock some sense into him. "For Pete's sakes, Jeff, go find that girl and tell her how you feel about her." Jeff chases her down. On her way to the airport, he finds her at a crowded terminal, must be a crowded terminal, and confesses his feelings in front of a crowd of people. Absolutely always in front of a crowd of people, or the producers of the movie will reject the ending. Because this ending has been tested. This ending sells. Then they kiss while the crowd applauds. Brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it? Okay, look, I'm convinced that most screenwriters caring more about the art than the money are writing real endings to their scripts. Unpredictable, bittersweet endings to their scripts, or at least some kind of original ending. But producers are changing the endings. Once again, they're saying, this ending has been tested. This ending sells. That's why I often enjoy a movie until the ending. For 3/4 of the movie, I was seeing the real story by the real writer. I can always tell where the producer took over. You've been listening to Navigating the Movies with your old pal, Bob. Thank you for joining me today. I'll see you tomorrow. You are always welcome. Your questions are welcome too.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.